And welcome back to Coast, where this hour we will take your phone calls with Dr. Joel Wallach. We're getting inundated, but get on in. Here's the number also to call, not for the show. You've got those numbers. This is if you need some help, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-RADIO. Or you can also go to the website and definitely look around, look at it, criticalhealthnews.com. And when we come back, your phone calls with Dr. Joel Wallach. We're back with Dr. Joel Wallach. And by the way, Joel does not get paid for doing this. And you've been doing this now, Joel, for how many years?
Well, let's see here. Personally for 68, commercially for 38.
Oh, my God. What drives you, Doc?
Well, if you know, and now you know, of course, that if we don't get this information out, our children will be the first generation that do not live as long as their parents. I cannot stand by and let that prediction come true. And so I'm prepared to work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I've been doing it for 38 years.
I'm going to say where you are right now, but you're in another hotel room in another city, you know, doing events, speaking, meeting, and you do this, what, almost 4 to 5 days a week?
Oh, no, 7 days a week. Actually, last year I did over 400 lectures. That does not include 2 hours of regular radio Monday through Friday, and then interviews like yourself at night and early in the morning.
And you've never said no to an interview?
No, sir, never said
never. Good for you. Let's take some calls because I know you can help people. We'll go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland to get things started. Hey, Frank, Happy New Year to you. Tommy, work on Frank's phone, and let's see if we can get that fixed, if you would. Yeah, Frank's a good caller. Let's go to Stacy in Massachusetts. Hey, Stace, go ahead.
Happy New Year.
You too, Stacy.
Okay, so I have two questions. One is, my son is 19 now, and he grew up drinking cow's milk, but now he likes chocolate soy milk. So I wasn't sure how good soy milk is as opposed to cow's milk, because he found out that cow's milk has synthetic estrogen in it. And my other question is, I had a double mastectomy last May, and the left side still has fluid in it, and it's absorbing so slow, and I want to know why is it taking so long to absorb that fluid?
Sure.
I'll let you do that one first, Joel, then we'll talk about the milk.
Oh, okay, do the breast thing first.
Yeah.
Well, there's many, many reasons why there's swelling in surgical sites, whether it's breast cancer, whether it's amputations, whether it's appendicitis. It could be that there is a sponge left in there. It could be that there is a staple that came loose. It could be there's a minor infection in there. It could be that the lymphatic vessels have been severed and the normal circulation of lymphatics is disrupted. Just like when women get the lymph nodes and the breast removed, or even if the breast remains and they do a lumpectomy and take the lymph nodes out on the side where there's breast cancer, they'll get what's called lymphedema. That whole arm will be three times bigger than the other arm from swelling. So it interferes with it. And so, again, I'd get a second opinion from another doctor who is a surgeon, okay, OB-GYN type of surgeon, does mastectomies and lumpectomies, and go get an opinion from another guy that didn't do the surgery and say, hey, might even go to the university. The surgeons there have no axe to grind. They get paid a salary, and they don't make any more money by seeing you. Now they're there to teach the students, and so that's another option, is to go to the university doctors and say, hey, why do I have this swelling? And they can do an ultrasound to see if there's a foreign body in there, like a sponge or a staple or something like that, or if it's lymphedema, which is caused by cutting the lymphatic vessels. Now, if it's lymphedema, you can actually take the plant minerals, which we have in quarts or even gallons, and you can take an ACE bandage and soak the ACE bandage and then put the ACE bandage on the area which has the lymphedema, and because of the osmotic gradient, it will pull the extra fluid out and you'll have a day without the swelling there. I mean, you have to do it every day. It's not, you know, it's something that has to go on if the circulation has been transected or cut in half.
Sure. Your associate, Dr. Peter Glidden, loves these plant minerals. Loves them. He talks about them all the time.
Well, the reason, and just Peter is such a great guy. Dr. Glidden is a fantastic guy. He understands this perfectly. He's been in practice, gosh, for 28 years or something like that. Just really, really great physician. And when he learned about these minerals and saw what they did for his patients, he became an avid, associate, to where he just gets these messages out every way he can. He uses electronics, he uses lectures, really very, very good. And the reason why he likes him, and he says this over and over and over, as good as a physician as he was without the minerals, once he began to add the minerals to his treatments for his patients, things improved many, many times, because you can't get the minerals in our food anymore because nobody's putting wood ashes in the gardens anymore.
Now, the other question, of course, from Stacy was cow's milk versus soy milk.
They're two different things. It's the difference between corn oil and mobile oil for your car. They're both oil, but they wouldn't act the same. You wouldn't use corn oil as a lubricant in your car. And, of course, soy milk, things like rice milk, these sorts of things, are not the same nutritional value as cow's milk or goat's milk or sheep's milk. And so they're for, you know, people who are allergic to milks. And if you're allergic to cow's milk, try sheep's milk or goat's milk or camel milk. They sell them out in health stores. And they're different proteins. So if you're allergic to cow's milk, you're not necessarily allergic to goat's milk. Okay, so you can try the other thing. Same way, if you're allergic to chicken eggs, you can still eat a duck egg. And so if he was concerned about the, contamination in cow's milk, you know, he should try goat's milk or sheep milk or some other mammal milk because, almond milk, rice milk, and soy milk have no nutritional equivalent to milk.
Well, you take a lot of eggs yourself, don't you?
I eat 8 to 10 eggs a day, George, and the record is one guy, who's 88 years old, and this was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in March of 1991. Before that physical exam, he'd been eating 25 eggs a day for 17 years. And, of course, he didn't have any ED or low T, didn't have any Alzheimer's disease, because all those diseases are actually caused by a cholesterol deficiency. Alzheimer's disease is not genetic. It's not caused by eating aluminum or using aluminum underarm deodorant. Alzheimer's disease is caused by a deficiency of cholesterol. And getting on statin drugs was the thing that drove everybody to get Alzheimer's disease. It's a physician-caused disease. Low T is the same way, as well as erectile dysfunction. And women who get menopause in their 30s instead of 60s is a result of doctors putting these women on statin drugs and getting them on a cholesterol-restricted diet.
If you'd like to make a...
You're still there? I can hear you.
Hang up and...
What is that, Joel? You there, Joel?
I'm here.
Yeah. That was weird, wasn't it?
It's the ozone.
It really is. Let's hope she doesn't come back on. I thought I lost you for a moment, but no, you were still there. Let us go next to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Thomas, you're on with Dr. Joel Wallach. Go ahead.
Happy New Year. Happy 2016.
You too, sir.
George,
thank you.
And it's an honor and a pleasure to speak with you, Joel Wallach.
You're very kind.
My question is, I want to increase my intake of essential fatty acids. Now, this is what I'm doing. I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, but I'm eating 6 to 12 uncooked eggs a day. I'm eating raw butter. Here in California, you can get non-pasteurized, non-homogenized butter. So I'll eat raw butter. And then I topically apply olive oil and flaxseed oil to the skin. I don't take it through the mouth. I just rub it into the skin. And also I eat a lot of olives, straight from the tree type of thing. Is that a good way to increase essential fatty acids in my diet?
Well, 2 out of 3, you're correct. Okay. It's certainly correct to eat butter. You're not going to get a whole lot of omega-3 essential fatty acids in butter because it's a saturated fat. It's not the unsaturated fats which make up the omega-3s. But certainly rubbing olive oil and coconut oil or any kind of oil in your skin It goes right through your skin, and it will oxidize very quickly, just like when you cut an apple and it turns brown in a few minutes. Same sort of thing happens. It's very, very dangerous to do that, okay?
All right.
And so what we do is make sure that the omega-3s come from, we have like 8 different sources. If you want evening primrose oil for vegetarians and vegans, we have fish oils, we have flaxseed oils, but they're all packed in the cold environment with nitrogen, so there's no oxygen, and the capsules are flushed with nitrogen before they're sealed. And so we protect the oil from oxygen. This is the thing. When you rub oil in your skin, it's probably already oxidized by the time you rub it on your skin. And so that's very problematic. But the raw eggs, they have a little problem, but if you're taking your 90 essential nutrients, you can overwhelm that problem. And that's the whites of raw eggs have an enzyme called avidin, which destroys the B vitamin biotin. And so you have to be supplementing with the 90 essential nutrients if you're going to eat the eggs raw. If you're supplementing with the 90, which includes biotin, you can eat the raw eggs. But you will get very nice omega-3s in the yolk. And, of course, they're protected by the shell, but you have to eat them right away. You can't leave the cracked eggs in a refrigerator because they'll slowly oxidize even in the refrigerator.
Joel, as people age, some of them need new cataracts. They implant these lenses in their eyes. What are your recommendations to avoid that before it happens?
Well, cataracts, George, are caused by free radical damage to the very, very sensitive proteins in the lens of the eye. And, of course, this comes from eating fried foods, processed meats, glutens, things like oils, including microwave popcorn, theater popcorn, olive oil, coconut oil, margarines, mayonnaise, salt, and cooking oils. These are the sort of things that cause cataracts. And, of course, if you catch it early enough, you take antioxidants. I like people to get about 300,000 auric points a day. Auric is an acronym for oxygen radical absorption capacity, which is a measurement of how many free radicals are neutralized by the antioxidants in a supplement. And I like people to get over 300,000 auric points a day when they have cataracts. And by doing that, you will, or if you don't have cataracts, you want to prevent them. Obviously, you have to stay away from all those bad foods. And then you take in the 90 essential nutrients and you throw in the auric points above 300,000 per day per person. You're going to reduce the risk of cataracts significantly. And if you get them, you ramp up on your auric points again. And then if you'll prevent them. But if you come to somebody who's already has the early stages of cataracts or seeing all those twinkly lights and the doctor says, oh, you got the early stages of cataracts, you get your auric points over 300,000 and stay away from all the free radicals and trans fats and heterocyclic amines, then what will happen is you have a high probability of stopping it from advancing. You might even get some improvement. But there's a point at which you have to get surgery because, you know, there's so much damage there. Sometimes in the early stages you can stop it from getting worse and you get lenses, and so the combination of the supplement program and lenses will be more than adequate.
The folks at CriticalHealthNews.com installed a new server months ago because of Doc Wallace's huge influx of people. So it's working for you at CriticalHealthNews.com, or you can call this number, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Let's go to Skype now. Michael is in Kauai in Hawaii. Hello, Michael. Go ahead.
Aloha, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I went to the website, and hello, Doc, or aloha. I went to the website for the first time, and so many questions, but I'll try to just keep it down to a couple.
Sure.
One, why are oats and oatmeal bad for you? The second question is, are you saying all oils are bad, including coconut oil, to ingest and almond milk? What's wrong with almond milk if you make it yourself from, say, organic almonds in a blender? And, I forgot the last one.
Okay, well, those are two good questions. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, let's see here. What was the first question?
Well, the first one, oats and oatmeal.
Oh, oatmeal, yeah. Oats and oatmeal. Well, people are given bad information when they say oats do not have gluten in them. The gluten in oatmeal is called gliadin. It's still gluten. It's kind of like, do you want to get shot in the head with a projectile or a bullet? It's the same thing. And so gluten is a very bad thing. You have to, I'd say 85 to 90% of Americans are intolerant of gluten. And, of course, gluten problems cause diverticulitis, celiac disease, appendicitis. Gluten causes colitis, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease. It causes all kinds of skin problems, eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, rosacea, asthma. Type 2 diabetes it contributes to because you can't absorb the minerals and causes a mineral deficiency, which results in type 2 diabetes. You can cause heart disease because you can't absorb the nutrients to prevent and reverse heart disease. And so gluten, including oatmeal, is very, very bad. Okay, you've got to give it up. When you look at the Chinese, they don't have the diseases we have until they come here and eat like us. In China, the largest population in the world, they live on rice and sweet potatoes, and they have almost none of the diseases we have because they don't eat the European grains, wheat, barley, rye, and oats, and so you best stay away from them. And, of course, when you're coming to coconut oil, certainly it oxidizes, just like olive oil and corn oil and soy oil, all these oils, including coconut oil, anything with the word O-I-L attached to it oxidizes and turns into trans fats, heterocyclic amines, and acrylamides. You know, show me how many people in Hawaii who are native Hawaiians who live on coconut meat and coconut milk and so forth, how many of them live to be 100? They're all obese. I shouldn't say all, but, you know, a significant number of them are obese. They have a very high rate of obesity and diabetes. They're not healthy people, okay, because of the oils. And so you have to appreciate that even though people talk about these things being healthy and organic just means no pollution, no sprays on the soil for 3 years. It has nothing to do with nutritional value or the safety of the food. And so organic foods is one subject. It says nothing about the nutrition. It says nothing about the trans fats and heterocyclic amines in there, because you can have organic oil and it's still going to oxidize and kill you.
That's
so
right.
You have to watch, you know, the terminology here, know what it means, and know when to hold them and when to fold them. And oils are very problematic. If you pick almonds off the tree, you crack the nuts yourself, and you grind those almonds and make your own almond milk and drink it immediately, it's probably safe.
You put a little water in there with it too, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, you have to. There won't be enough liquid otherwise. But if you don't do that, if you just get almond milk out of the store that's been sitting on a shelf for a week and shipped, you know, in a train car that's 120 degrees and all that kind of stuff, the odds are it's oxidizing. It's going to hurt you.
Oxidizing is what really gets you, it seems, and nitrites and things like that.
That is correct. And, of course, the nitrites can come in the form of deli slices, sandwich meat, sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, salami, pastrami, pepperoni, jerky. It can also come as fertilizer getting into well water in rural communities, or even big cities that use well water as their source of water. In fact, I wrote the first paper in 1961, George, on a mass die-off in America from pollution. All the professors were on vacation in December of 1961. I was a pathology graduate student at that time. I'd graduated ag school already, and I was into veterinary school and also taking graduate work in pathology. I was a pathologist and ran into a mass die-off where 500 died from nitrates getting in the well water.
That's crazy. Doc, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some final questions for Doc Wallace. And Doc Wallach's number, 1-855-949-RADIO or criticalhealthnews.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast We're with Doc Wallach. This, of course, is our final segment here, so we'll get to as many calls as we can. But the website, write it down, criticalhealthnews.com, and the toll-free phone number at the office there is 1-855-949-RADIO. Just spell out radio, even though you don't need the O, and you'll get right to the folks there who will give you some advice and help you. And, gosh, there's nothing like your health. I mean, because once that deteriorates, Doc, what do you have left? Nothing.
You're exactly right. If you're not healthy, if you look, you know, it's really sad when you look at some of these stories. Past President Jimmy Carter, his grandson just died at 27, 28, whatever it was.
28, yeah.
28
sad
in his sleep. And then Joe Biden's son just died at 46 or 47. Right?
Well, it's like you say, parent, and that is, I'm a parent. I've got three children. They've got their own. There's nothing worse than a parent burying their son or daughter.
Yeah, I wonder how Steve Jobs' family felt burying him.
I know, horrible.
Iwata from He was 56. Steve Jobs was 56.
Yeah.
And same way with Iwata, the CEO of Nintendo. He was 55 when he died.
That's sad.
Yeah, I mean,
and let me ask you this, Doc, before we go to these calls. Theoretically, if the human body did not get cancer, did not suffer artery disease, had a good liver, didn't get, you know, sclerosis, had a good kidney, theoretically, how long could the body go? How long could you live?
Well, in modern times, you know, we know Adam lived to be 935, Methuselah lived to be 969. In modern times, in the last 300 years, documented with a certificate every 50 years by the government, a guy in north central China by the name of Dr. Li, L-I, the Chinese spelling, L-E is Korean, this is L-I, Chinese. He died at 256. He was born in 1977.
You think those were real numbers?
Oh, yeah, because he had a certificate given to him when he was 50 by the government, because the average lifespan back then was in China was about like 27 or 28. So he was 50, so the government gave him a certificate. Then 50 years later, when he was 100, he got another one. 150, he got another one. 200, he got another one. 250, he got another one. And there's a museum and a small university which deals with longevity there in this north central China area. And everybody from all over the world goes there to study this Dr. Li's diet and what he did and the people who live in that area and why they live so long. This is one of the top 20 longevity cultures who live there.
What did he do?
Well, he was still using wood ashes in his garden. They have more minerals there. They have what's called rare earths, ytterbium. Most people have never heard of these things, ytterbium, yttrium, samarium, europium, things like neodymium, praseodymium. Any one of these will double the lifespan of a laboratory animal. And so I made sure that in our program, everybody gets those six rare earths that double the lifespan of animals. And so I believe that's why my next book coming out is going to be called The 200-Year
Diet.
I think that's conservative.
I love it. Social Security will hate you.
Well,
let's go back to the calls. Lisa in Louisiana, first-time caller. Hello, Lisa. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. You guys are brilliant. This is amazing. And I have a really important question.
Okay.
I had my appendix removed at about 17. And, you know, I just really am trying to take responsibility for my own health and, you know, did the whole gallbladder cleanse and feel so much better. I had stones and... but I just did research about the appendix. I'm 47, and supposedly 2014, UNC did a study and found that the appendix is actually a storehouse for flora. And about 5 years ago, I was so sick. I never felt good ever. And I went to a holistic friend of mine, and, you know, she put me on serious probiotics and all that, but... You know, is there something else I can do? You know, I read that it affects the lymphocytic cells. I think that's right. My dad had his removed at 25, and he died from chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and he never heard of a probiotic thing ever. And, you know, that just really concerns me. So is there anything I can do?
Let me answer your 14 questions. All very good. The appendix is an activating organ for the beta cells. When you take your appendix out, you can't activate your beta cells, which are white blood cells, just like your T cells are activated by your thymus. And the beta cells, which are a form of white blood cells, are activated by your appendix. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions here. Did you ever have any skin problems, dry, rough skin in the back of your arms or thighs, or any eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, or rosacea?
What I have is extreme dry skin that is looking almost scaly now, and I do not put a lot of hot water on my skin and try to keep it.
Now, let me ask you one more question. Actually, two. Did you ever have any asthma or bronchitis as a kid?
I had pneumonia when I was pregnant with my third child.
Okay. Now, do any of your children have dry skin or belly problems or...
My middle daughter has eczema.
Okay. Well, here's your problem.
I have it under control, but...
No, well, here's the problem. You have a severe gluten intolerance. You pass this on to your children. Your children who are girls will pass this on to their children. Okay? Everybody's got to get drop-dead gluten-free, which includes your dog, your cat, your bird, your fish, mother-in-law, spouse, renter, everybody living in the house can be gluten-free.
Yeah, mother-in-law, maybe not. I'm kidding. That's
because,
a joke.
No, no. If they live in the house, they got to be gluten-free because of cross-contamination in the laundry, the food preparation services, the bed where they sleep together, the couch where they watch TV. Dog food and dry cat food are some of the most insidious places you're going to find it because the first four ingredients in dry dog and cat food are usually wheat, barley, rye, and oats, unless it says gluten-free. Then you got to watch the oatmeal piece, okay? At any rate, what causes your problems is that when you have gluten intolerance, which you do, the lining of your intestines, your small intestines, begins to go away, get scar tissue. Instead of being having all these finger-like villi sticking down, which increase your absorptive surface by 95%, they go away. And so now you have just a garden hose situation. You've lost 95% of your absorptive surface, and you wind up tired. You feel all you have all these problems. And, of course, the skin problems is a nutritional deficiency. So you have to get drop-dead gluten-free. And what do you weigh? What's your body weight?
I have been 127 for about 10 years, and I'm 5'1". I'm probably 15 pounds overweight to me.
Okay. Well, so let's say 125. I'd get to the 90 essential nutrients. You could do this in the form of, I'd go ahead and get one healthy brain and heart pack. That covers a lot of territory. There's like 8 different products in that box. A healthy brain and heart pack. I would also, remember, you got to be gluten-free. Everybody in the house got to be gluten-free. Everybody living there has got to get on the 90 essential nutrients appropriate for their body weight. And it's one per 100 pounds of body weight. And so you need one healthy brain and heart pack per month. Take a full dose of everything every day. That's half at breakfast, half at dinner. And avoid the bad stuff. And your dry skin will go away. You'll be able to support your immune system. And the respiratory stuff will go away if there's anything going on like asthma or bronchitis or wheezing in your kids, that sort of thing. But you're also responsible to tell your sisters and your brothers if they have any because your mama gave it to all her children. And if you have any aunties and uncles from your mama's side, you got to warn them because they all have it. The women pass it on to their kids through cord blood and breast milk. Men do not do this. And, of course, we actually have a CD called Serial Killers that goes into all the hidden places you find.
Serial Killers. I love it.
And spelled funny, C-E-R-I-A-L, so it's a contraction of two words. Cereal, they eat, and serial killers like serial killers that kill multiples of people. And then the book Hell's Kitchen, because the kitchen can be a place of hell or heaven, depending on what you cook and how you cook and whether you're using oils or gluten, all this kind of stuff. And so this book is imperative for you and your family, and the CD is imperative for you and your family. Serial Killers in the book Hell's Kitchen. And you're going to see a remarkable benefit for yourself and all your children, your brothers and sisters, your mom, aunties and uncles on your mom's side. And just by dumb luck chance, you could be on your father's side too, but it's not a genetic thing.
How much of this, Joel, is discipline too, to be able to get into a program and just do it and to do it often?
Well, if you get into the program that's gluten-free, and every grocery store now has a gluten-free aisle. And, of course, we have gluten-free foods, our GO Food Division, 25-year shelf life.
And what do you mean by gluten? Explain that.
Well, gluten is a protein in grains, wheat, barley, rye, and oats. And some people are sensitive to it, like some people are sensitive to poison ivy and poison oak. When you're sensitive to poison ivy and poison oak, it's not an allergy. It's called, you get a contact dermatitis. You have an intolerance of poison oak and poison ivy and poison sumac. Well, the same thing happens when you have an intolerance of gluten. See, human beings were never meant to eat wheat, barley, rye, oats. It was wild grass and the Fertile Crescent back thousands of years ago. And it was never talked about in the Bible, although people say, well, it's in the Bible. No, it's not. The Bible talks about grain. It doesn't. And the grain of the day during the Bible days was millet. And it was only 1,000 years after the Bible was written, the Old Testament was written, the wheat came along because the seed heads are 3 inches long and the millet seed heads are only 1/2 inch long. So they quadrupled their yield just by growing wheat, just because there's more grains of wheat per head than there is in the head of the millet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they went to that just for yield. Well, people began to get asthma and skin problems and appendicitis and irritable bowel syndrome and rosacea and all these kind of things and pneumonia and infertility and birth defects and diabetes that they never had before. And the Egyptian physicians were going crazy recording all these things when wheat got online, but they never made the connection that it was because of wheat. Well, now we know the connection. And again, the book Hell's Kitchen and the CD Serial Killers go into all this in great detail. And I would urge everybody to really pay attention to this because 80 to 90% of all Americans are gluten intolerant, where we're not built to eat those foods. And this is why every grocery store has a gluten-free aisle.
All right, let's go to Bob in Ohio now. Hey, Bob, thank you for holding. You're on with Doc Wallach.
Hey, George. Hey, Dr. Wallach.
Yes, sir.
I'm a big salad eater, a big fan of eating big tossed salads. And I noticed you said just use lemon juice on your salad instead of salad dressing. Well, it didn't kind of appeal to me, so I tried to come up with something a little better, a recipe for that. I just wanted to run it by you.
Okay, sure.
Well, I think you said some of the dairy products were good, and cheese and stuff.
Yeah, so sour cream. Cheese, sour cream?
Yeah. Well, no, this is a blue cheese dressing, and I use cream cheese, blue cheese crumbles. I use a little milk, or you could use water in place of that, and like a tablespoon of white wine vinegar and a quarter teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, which I could probably do without. Is that any better than...
You have to read the label on the blue cheese. Is there oil added to the blue cheese? Okay.
Oh, and the crumbles? Yeah, I didn't check that.
Yeah, you need to see if there's oil in there, because many of the crumbly blue cheeses have oil in it, which is bad because it oxidizes. And then some of them have white vinegar in it. Okay. The wine vinegar, balsamic vinegars are okay, but the white vinegar is made from wheat, and that's dangerous. So you have to watch that. And so oil and vinegar.
Maybe apple cider vinegar instead?
I'm sorry?
Apple cider vinegar, Doc.
Oh, yes, sir. No. Apple cider vinegar is good. Balsamic vinegar is good. Not vinaigrette, because vinaigrette has the vinegar, but it also has the oil in it. So balsamic vinaigrette is bad, but balsamic vinegar is good.
Okay.
Sounds good. You might want to package that, Bob, and sell it to the world.
Oh, it's great. After the first time, that's all I make.
Good for you. Thank you. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, and of course, you really have to watch it, and this is why we're coming out with this book, The 200-Year Diet, because not only do you have to supplement, George, with the non-essential nutrients, because you can't get it from your food anymore. A vegetarian diet is the worst. A vegan diet is the worst, because you're hoping and praying that the plants you're eating are grown in areas that have all these minerals from the soil. You can't prove it because plants only need three. Nobody's going to do a 2,500-hour analysis on each meal they eat if they're a vegetarian or vegan. There's no vegans and vegetarians who are vegetarians or vegans their whole life who live to be 100. According to National Geographic, all of the top 20 longevity cultures are meat eaters. They eat meat, and they eat dairy, they eat eggs. There's no vegetarians in the top 20 longevity cultures. And that's because you're relying on the plants to have all the minerals in there you need, and you can't. It's just not possible.
We have time for a few more calls. Let's go to Joyce in Hanover, New Mexico. Go ahead, Joyce. We got you in.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there, Joyce.
I am so pleased to talk to Joe. I have white matter disease, a lot of TIAs. I have a bigger stroke in my hypothalamus. I have fibroid myalgia.
Oh, my God.
Thyroid multinodular goiter with the goiter down into my chest. I have IBS.
Okay, well, that's enough.
We'll stop you there, Joyce. Go ahead, Doc.
I already know what you got. When you have IBS, remember I said earlier when you have a gluten problem, when you're sensitive to gluten, you get irritable bowel syndrome is one of the things you have. And once you get irritable bowel syndrome, you've lost 95% of the absorptive surface of your intestine, and you're going to get multiples of diseases, which you have. Okay, you have a goiter, you have thyroid problems, you have, again, irritable bowel syndrome, you have all kinds of skin problems, you have white matter disease in the brain, and you're not absorbing the nutrients that are necessary to maintain. Are you on statin drugs at all?
I have IBS.
No. Are you on statin drugs? Are you on cholesterol-lowering drugs?
No. Not at this time.
Were you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's why you have white matter disease. How many eggs do you eat every day?
I eat two every morning.
That's not enough, dear. How much do you weigh?
I weigh 150.
Okay, you need to be eating 10 eggs a day.
10 eggs, Doc. My God.
Yes, sir.
That's a carton almost.
Soft boiled with a soft yolk, soft poached with a soft yolk, soft scrambling butter, not oils or margarine. Yeah, you've got the early stages of dementia, Alzheimer's disease caused by being on statin drugs for some time and eating only two eggs. You can't absorb the cholesterol because you have a gluten intolerance, and cholesterol is a big, clumsy molecule, very difficult to absorb under ideal circumstances. When you have a gluten intolerance and you're on a cholesterol-restricted diet, you're taking statin drugs, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. You're going to get which is a physician-caused disease, and, of course, it's a white matter disease because Alzheimer's disease is a going away of the white matter of the brain. That's what it is, because 95%, almost 100% of the white matter of your brain is cholesterol, and it makes up 75% of your total brain weight. And so you really have to do some catch-up here, and that's why you need to eat 10 eggs a day. You need to stay away from statin drugs. And any physician who would prescribe a statin drug now really should be put in jail and have their licenses taken away.
You do not hold back punches, Doc, that's for sure. Doc, we're out of time again. We'll talk to you again next month. I can't believe we're into 2016, my friend.
Well, God bless you, George, and Happy New Year, you and Tom and everybody on your staff. God bless you guys. Keep up the great work.
Dr. Joel Wallach, again, those of you who are on hold, I'm sorry we have run out of time with Doc Wallach, and some of you were waiting a long time, so I'm sorry about that. Call, of course, 1-855-949-RADIO, or simply go to criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com, and you can get a lot of answers to some of the questions you were going to ask Doc Wallach.